Hey, it's Ryan Seacrest here, and I have discovered a fun new escape from the daily grind, Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has hundreds of social casino-style games and it's all free to play anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So get to chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
Hour number two, Darren, Donick, and Chase here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. In hour number one, we went to Cincinnati. We caught up with former Titans linebacker Rocky Boyman, who was doing radio in Cincinnati, talking about that Bengals first pick. And now we head down to South Beach. We'll find out what the Dolphins are thinking at five. And Cameron Wolf, who used to cover the Titans, now covers the Dolphins for ESPN and ESPN.com. He is their NFL Nation reporter. Cameron, how you doing?
Doing all right. How are you guys?
Well, it's certainly not dull right now where you are and the team that you're covering, because there's a lot of stuff out there trying to figure out what exactly are the Dolphins going to do and who is their guy. Are they willing to trade up? Can they trade up to get their guy? So how much are you hearing down there with what we can expect tonight with that fifth pick or fourth pick or third pick or whatever they do?
I'm hearing everything, man. It's smokescreen season. Every single day there seems to be a new rumor that somebody heard about something. Here's what I do know. I would be shocked if the Dolphins didn't draft a quarterback in the first round and most likely with their first pick. I know there had been the report about them possibly taking a tackle, and I do expect them to take a tackle with one of their picks today. I just don't think that they'll prioritize that over the quarterback position. So, you know, I think you're going to hear a lot of stuff. You've heard a lot of stuff, and you'll continue to hear a lot of stuff from teams trying to get information out to help them, to benefit them, to play a little offense and defense with other teams that may be in front of them or behind them. So I think that's a lot of what's going on here with the Dolphins. And I think ultimately they're going to end up taking a quarterback with their first pick.
They've got the opportunity, as you know, with three first-round picks to really change their franchise moving forward. And they've already done that really in the offseason. They've spent a lot of money. They've brought in which looked like some really good players to help them. We thought that they were going to be awful, and as the season went along, I remember us talking to you about whole tanking for Tua and all of that. But they got better, and they look like a pretty good little team there toward the end of the year, even after trading away a lot of guys. So you think in the end, let's just start with that first pick. They are going to get a quarterback. There's no doubt about it with that first pick.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I can't say for certainty. I'm not in that room with them, but I would be pretty surprised if they didn't pick a quarterback. Like you mentioned, they're trying to do this rebuild right. They spent a lot of time last offseason cleaning up their salary cap and trading away players like Laremy Tunsil and Minkah Fitzpatrick and Kenny Stills. And I can't imagine that they would do that to trade up for an offensive tackle or even take a tackle at five and roll the dice at quarterback. So I think that you're looking at a situation, and I've said this since the scouting combine, where I still think Tua Tagovailoa is their guy. And I think that, you know, they like Joe Burrow a lot. And I know Adam Schefter came out with a report that they, you know, made an offer to trade up to Cincy. And I know that to be true. I just don't think Cincinnati's trading that pick. So they figure out who their number two quarterback, and I believe that's Tua.
We're talking to Cameron Wolf. Once upon a time, covered the Titans, now covering the Dolphins for ESPN. And so, Cameron, let's maybe take a bigger look at the Dolphins and where they are. They did some really nice things by the end of last season. So where did they make the biggest strides in your mind as they started to win games? And obviously they did the Titans a big solid with a big win in Foxborough on the last day of the season.
Yeah, I think they really gained a lot of players' trust throughout the season. Early in the year, I was in that locker room, and it was very, you know, grim at times. You know, they had just traded away two of their best three players. They were getting embarrassed every week. I think they lost their first two games by 90 combined points. And everybody was having them as the laughing stock of the league. And eventually they went to Josh Rosen in a move that didn't work out. And I think Brian Flores really gained his team's respect when he went back to Ryan Fitzpatrick, a move that didn't really make sense for a rebuilding team, but it made sense for a team that was trying to win, like he said they were. And I think that second half of the year, they got a lot of continuity together. They had players, you know, play above their talent. And I think you really saw really good coaching. And I think if they could take anything out of last year, is that they may have found the right coach. And now they have to get the right players and the right quarterback. And that's what, you know, that's why this draft is so important. They have more draft capital than any other team. And they can really rewrite their franchise with this draft.
How did you try to put together mock drafts for a team that has so many picks? I mean, that's there's so many things they can do. You would almost assume that somewhere in there they're going to wheel and deal. But how did you try to approach it?
Yeah, we do an NFL Nation mock draft on ESPN every year. So I had three picks this year. So I found a way to put on three different suits. It was actually my wife's suggestion to put on three different suits and get set up outside and have the video. So I figured, when's the next time we're going to have three different picks in the draft? So we shot that and had that, you know, sweating outside in the Miami Heat trying to get that all set up. So it was definitely a new deal for me, you know, whether I'm doing the picks for TV or, you know, just like fans, I like to do the mock drafts on a little website where, and you got 14 picks, so that's not a quick mock draft. You got to, you know, that takes you about 30, 45 minutes to go through that mock draft. So it definitely takes a while. So it's just an experience, you know, but I do think they'll will and deal. I do think that there will be some sort of trade up, whether it's at the 5 spot or the 18 spot, because they're not going to bring in 14 rookies and draft 14 rookies. They're going to try to figure out how they can bring a higher talent level of guys into this roster in 2020.
You one of your tweets is something I've thought of, too, and I think ESPN will really work hard to try to capture this as best they can, and NFL Network as well. But trying to get the emotion. I was very fortunate. Me and my son and one of his friends were invited backstage for part of the first round last year. I got a chance to just watch the families sit in the lounge, and then as they came down the tunnel, all the hugs, and, you know, you start thinking about how long they've been working towards this moment. Rocky Boyman just told us his story last hour. None of them will ever forget that moment. And you're talking about that in your tweet, about just the emotion that you see from those families. I hope they can capture that tonight.
Yeah, no, I hope so too. I'm watching ESPN right now, and I know that we have been putting cameras in a lot of the top prospects' homes, and I think that, you know, we'll be able to get to see a lot of them as they're getting the call, as they're seeing their name announced. And, yeah, I hope even though they're not in Vegas, they still are able to have that emotion, because that's one of my favorite parts of the draft. You know, I've been watching this as a kid, and you see guys crying, you see guys like overwhelmed with emotion that you don't normally see. And I think it's really a positive sign that we need, especially given this current period where, you know, there's a lot of negativity, there's a lot of worry and anxiety, to see a whole night of joy with people achieving their dreams. I think it's going to be a joy for us as spectators.
We're talking to Cameron Wolf from ESPN. He covers the Dolphins for them. First of all, I did see a video you posted, I guess, a few weeks ago that you announced your own first-round pick. So congratulations to you and the wife on
thank you.
The upcoming
that.
Baby. So very cool. I enjoyed your video. But I look at the Dolphins as they're not in win-now mode. They've gotten better. I think they have the right coach. They're building for the future. But did the game plan in your mind change at all when Brady announced he was leaving New England?
I think that it allowed teams in the AFC East, and particularly the Dolphins, to figure, hey, we might be able to get to where we want to go earlier than we thought. I think the Dolphins may have saw this as a three-year rebuild for them that started last year. And now they may be thinking, hey, we might be able to compete for a playoff spot next year and make it sort of a quick turnaround. I'm not sure if that's going to be the case, but I think the fact that division is wide open, the Patriots have been the bullies of that division. I think they've won 19 in the last 20 years. So I think for the AFC and the AFC East in particular, it creates a openness that, hey, maybe we can be that team that steps into that spot, particularly for the Dolphins, knowing that, hey, the Patriots have been – they've been number two to the Patriots for pretty much the whole decade. So I think you're going to see teams be more aggressive in that division. We already saw the Bills trade for Stephon Diggs. We're going to see what the Dolphins do tonight in the draft. They spent more money in free agency than any other team. So I think you're seeing teams say, hey, the Patriots are wounded. It's our time to jump on it and take advantage of that.
You said earlier that you really like the coaching. In your dealings with Brian Flores, what is it that about him that makes him the right guy for this job?
Yeah, I think that, you know, when you see a guy that comes from the Patriot tree, you always are worried because they don't have a lot of history of success. You're wondering, are these guys going to be a copycat of Bill Belichick? You know, are they going to, you know, have that same mentality? And he has some Patriot influence in him, but I think that he's also his own self. And what I mean by that is I think he's genuine in how he feels about players, how he has a respect for, you know, for reporters and just kind of day-to-day people. And I think you see that. I think he's relatable for a lot of his players. You know, he's a guy from Brooklyn that grew up in the inner city, you know, tough upbringing, had to fight for everything he got, you know, was a college football player, you know, started as a low-level scout making $20,000. So, like, I think a lot of the things about his history and how he goes about things allows him to earn a lot of respect from the people that are around him. And ultimately, I just think he's a good coach beyond that. You know, I saw instances last year where they were clearly the less talented team and they brought out a win, and I thought it was because of the coaching staff. I remember watching a game against Philadelphia last year, and that's a team that won the NFC East, and they came and they just flat out beat them, and they were no way more talented. But I think they outcoached him that day. And I think that was the first, you know, first big sign where I was like, okay, the Dolphins may have something with this coach.
Do you feel like that the fan base has embraced him?
Yeah, I do. I do. I think that this fan base, you know, the two things they've been missing for the most, you know, really the last two decades has been a coach that they believe in and a quarterback they believe in. And they hope that they got the coach, and now they got to figure out if they're going to get the quarterback tonight. I think that, you know, he got a lot of respect from them and fans, you know, when he was committed not to tank. And there was a lot of fans who said, hey, tank for Tua, that's what we want. But I think the vast majority of them, even if that's what they truly want, they had a lot of respect for that their coach was not going to just lay down for anyone, even if it maybe made sense for the organization. They were going to fight, and I think that win over the Patriots that we mentioned earlier in the hit in Week 17 at Foxborough, that's something that hasn't happened for this franchise in a very long time. And they were like, man, this guy's doing it with this talent, and I think that made everybody, most of the fans, jump on board. So, you know, he's still going to have to prove himself this upcoming year with more talent, more expectations, but I think he has a lot of fans in the fan base, and he's definitely on the right path.
Last thing, Cameron, what was the mood down there from the fan base watching Tannehill and the Titans go to the AFC Championship game? What were they saying?
There was definitely a lot of anxiety. You know, I came down there for the AFC Championship week. I spent a little time in Nashville and wrote a story on Tannehill, and I think that there was a mixed feeling, you know, from the fan base. You know, from what I understood, there was a lot of fans who felt like, man, you know, we really respected Tannehill. He did a lot of good work with them. You know, we wanted a new quarterback, but it's good to see him have success with the Titans. And then there was another part of the fan base that was going to throw dirt on him and say that Derrick Henry was carrying the team, and that was the only reason why he was doing well. So I think it was an interesting mix. I think that a lot of fans were not eager to see him come play in the Super Bowl in Miami, and they were happy that it didn't work out that way. But I think it was less about Tannehill, the person, and more about just kind of being in mediocrity as a franchise and not wanting to be wrong with another player. So I think Tannehill had a lot of respect from the fan base because he's a good guy. He was tough. They just wanted more from him as a player. So I think it was time for both sides to move on. And I think Tannehill's happy where he's at now, and I think Dolphins fans, as long as they get Tua tonight, will be happy with the path that they took as well.
Yeah, no doubt. We talked about it on that run. Could you imagine if Tannehill, the storyline, if Tannehill was playing in the Super Bowl in Miami, what that'll be like? Holy cow. Unfortunately, it didn't happen. Cameron, always good to talk to you. Congratulations again on the announcement. Enjoy covering the draft, and we'll talk to you down the road.
Appreciate you guys. Have a good one. Stay safe.
All right, you too. Cameron Wolf, NFL Nation reporter for the Dolphins for ESPN and ESPN.com. We will talk to Jim Wyatt at the bottom of the hour, find out what exactly is going on in Titans Central, John Robinson and Mike Vrabel. Come back. More of Darren Donick and Chase next.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory Lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21+. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.